Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
And I'm Molly Bay. We got the Carolina Panthers coming up this week on Sunday. This is a home game. Woohoo!
Woohoo! They do not play well on the road. They're like 1-5.
1-5 on the road.
And 0-3 past three games.
Yeah.
Last game they won actually was against us.
Really?
Week 9. Yeah.
Ugh. I hope we don't break their streak.
I hope so too. Yeah. Well, you know, our defense plays good at home.
Yeah.
Statistically.
Right.
We just got off of a good butt whooping on the 49ers. Who's going to bring it? Who's going to bring it? And this has, you know, playoff implications. You know, if we win, we're still mathematically in the playoff. And I did the playoff machine on the website where you can sit there and do wins and losses with each team for the rest of the season to see who makes it to the playoffs. We could theoretically make it to the playoffs at 8-8.
Yeah. Okay. So Greg Allman this week put out a tweet that said who to root for so that the Bucs can make it into the playoffs. So let me tell you what we're looking at. So we want the Ravens to beat the Falcons this week. That's doable.
That's doable.
It could happen.
Where are they at?
I don't know.
Baltimore?
Okay. I don't know. Rams over the Lions.
That's definitely doable.
Ooh, and the 49ers over the Seahawks.
Not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. And the Eagles over the Redskins. That could happen.
We want the Eagles to beat the Redskins.
Yes.
Yeah, that definitely could happen. I mean, the Redskins are limping. They're bad.
Yeah. They don't have that. Oh, literally.
He broke his leg.
It's a bad poor taste.
Yes, it's poor taste. But this is football. Everything's in poor taste.
It's supposed to be.
I can't believe that happened. Alex Smith broke his leg 33 years to the day that Joe Theismann broke his leg. In almost the same way,
same place.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is crazy. I've been seeing a lot of broken bones this year in the NFL.
Yeah, normally you get like the ligament and tendon tear, like the ACL, MCLs. It's not quite as frequent that you see broken bones.
That one, I think it was the 49ers. Ooh. I want to say Breed or somebody. I can't remember. He got, his arm was so twisted and
just dangling.
Oh, man. That was a bad, bad break.
Yeah.
I think it's probably because, you know, bones are anti-fragile. They get stronger under pressure. The more pressure you put it, like a boxer's forearms are almost like steel because that's all they do is they just pound things all day long. So the more pressure you put on bones, the more stress they're under, the stronger they get. Well, with the current state of football, they don't hit during practices. You don't have the Oklahoma drills as much. You're not getting those impacts. And I think their bones just aren't as strong as they used to be.
Well, that's an interesting point. I wonder if there might be something to that.
Might be. It'd be interesting to find out. But, of course, we would have had to have tested bone density 20 years ago and compare it to today with the football players.
Right, which they probably didn't do.
No, they didn't do that. And, you know, that got me to thinking, too, about the tackling. I've been watching all across the league, and I say that, you know, the Buccaneers have got to work on their tackling. Really, there's only a couple teams I've seen that are doing good tackling. Dallas Cowboys the other night did great.
Oh, my gosh. I do not want to play them.
Oh, I know. After I saw them play, I was like, man, they just beat the crap out of the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, literally punched them in the face.
Which was great to see.
It was great to see. But
then you realize you got to play them.
We got to play these guys.
2-3 weeks. So that's not going to be
Were playing old school. They reminded me a lot of the old Buccaneers defense from the 90s. Just good defense. I mean, that was good defensive playing.
And I don't think I've heard anything about them this season at all. I think they got off to a really slow start.
Yes.
In that division, all you heard was the Redskins are playing so well.
Yeah. Well, the Dallas Cowboys were really getting crapped on their defense for not getting turnovers at the beginning of the year. I think they were as bad as we were. But their defense is, you know, they're just stout. They're playing, you know, Rod Marinelli. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, it'd be nice to have him as our head coach just to bring some toughness to this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if he would go anywhere, though.
I don't know. You know, he's been getting head coach offers for years now.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to leave Dallas. He's kind of like Monty Kiffin was with the Buccaneers. You know, he never wanted to be a head coach. He just was happy being a defensive coordinator. So, you know, I mean, he got head coach offers every year. He was like, no, I'm happy being the defensive coordinator.
Wow.
I think Rod Marinelli's the same way.
So much less pressure. You can just focus on one part of the team.
Yeah, and you see with Cutter, you know, he doesn't have anything to do with the defense at all. He doesn't have much to do with special teams, apparently. You know, he just focuses on the offense, and I don't know what he does as a head coach. I guess he just is in charge of hiring the coordinators, and that's about all he does.
Probably personnel decisions.
Yeah, for the coaching staff.
Right.
That's about it. Yeah. He's in control of that. Other than that, I don't see what he's doing as a head coach. Don't know.
Beats
but
me.
I was thinking, you know, it's been, how long's it been? Probably 5 or 6 years now that we've really, the NFL has really come down on the tackling. You know, don't lead with your helmet. You know, do the kind of, you know, they even talked about the Seattle Seahawks with their rugby tackling. And, you know, they're trying to get guys to now wrap them up and twist, take them to the ground. And I remember Shiano was big into that. He was big into tackling that away. But it's been, well, we'll say 2012, about that time was when tackling started becoming an issue. They started, the NFL started working towards different styles of tackling, you know, not this hard-hitting tackling.
Well, the CBA, too, put a lot of restrictions on what the coaches could do with the players.
Yes, very much so. It really restricted the physicality during practices.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't realize it because we've been watching football for so long, but a lot of these guys are young. 5 or 6 years ago, you know, they were 15, 16 years old. And so they're learning this. That's how they learned how to tackle. They didn't learn how to tackle the way we're used to seeing tackling in the NFL. So, a lot of our guys on the defense are from that era. You know, they grew up, in the past 5, 6 years, maybe even a little bit before, they've been taught this different tackling technique where you try not to hurt the guy you're tackling, basically.
Yeah.
And you try not to hurt yourself.
But. And our secondary is so young.
Right. They're all so young. So they're from that new school of tackling, I think. And I think that's an issue with why all across the league, you're getting offenses are just blowing up. And they're scoring. I think the defenses, you got all these young guys that, you know, they're not physical. They don't know how to get out there and, you know, plant their feet and drive through somebody. They're taught totally different. You know, I don't even know how they're taught now. What do they step aside, launch yourself at their ankles? Because that's what I'm seeing all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of come at them from the side and you launch yourself and you try to trip them up with their ankles. It's really strange, but. Anyhow, it's just something I was thinking of the other night when I'm sitting there watching football, watching all these guys just flounder around. It's like they're directing traffic almost. Their hands are going all, arms are going this way. And, you know, it's like, what are you doing?
They flop like a fish trying to tackle somebody.
Yeah, you do. You see that. They hit the ground and try to tackle from the ground by grabbing people's ankles. Very strange. But it was refreshing to see Dallas the other night play. You know, it was mean tackling, man. They were hitting hard. That one hit on Kamara, I can't believe he got back up and went back into game.
They had a couple of those where players got up and were a little woozy.
Very woozy.
Woo!
Yes.
That was a good game.
That was a very good game. It was good. It was good defense. It was a defensive game. And I remember people tweeting. They were like, who said defensive games aren't fun?
Yeah.
I was like, that's what I'm talking about. I love to watch a defensive game.
Especially when they're beating the shit out of the Saints.
Yeah, I'd like to see a special teams game. And as long as they're beating the Saints, I don't care.
Woo. So the Saints lost that game, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted us to be the only team that beat them this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever.
But that was like convincing fashion. They earned that one.
Yes, they gave a blueprint on how to beat the Saints, and it was really just punch them in the mouth.
Yeah, get after them early.
They were gang tackling, and they were hitting hard. And these weren't these one-arm tackles either. These were...
No, they were trying to launch through the guys.
Yeah, they were... They were using the power of the earth to destroy spines. So anyhow, Carolina's coming up. Molly, what do we got going on? What do we got for injury reports and stuff?
Okay.
What with news?
So since we were talking about the Saints, I'll just briefly touch on the division standings. Saints are so far ahead of anybody else.
They've
in the
got
division.
The division wrapped up.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can come back. They're 10-2.
How many games we got left in the season? This is week 13, so 5 games.
There's 17 weeks, 16 games, because everybody's got to buy, right?
Yes, you're
okay.
Correct.
Okay. So, yeah, 5 weeks.
Okay, so 5 weeks. Well, theoretically, the Panthers could catch up with them. They're only 4 games behind, but that means the Saints would have to have a total meltdown.
Right. I don't.
Don't see that happening.
Really see that happening.
It's football. Anything could happen.
Right.
So they don't have the division locked up yet. I imagine if they win or Carolina loses this week, then they'll have the division wrapped up.
Right. That'll probably be it. Panthers are 6-5.
Boo.
Falcons are 4-7, and we're 4-7.
We're still at the bottom of the division, though, because of
tiebreakers. Yeah, whatever the tiebreakers are. So, Panthers, everyone else besides us is on a lose streak in the division. But we're only on a 1-win streak, so let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
And it was the 49ers.
It was the 49ers.
Without their 2 best wide receivers and their star defensive player and their third-string quarterback.
Crazy. So the Panthers are on a 3-game lose streak. Falcons are on a 3-game lose streak.
Well, what do the Panthers look like injury-wise coming up?
They've had quite a few people on their injury report this week, but only one player is questionable.
What?
Yeah, Devin Funchess, their wide receiver.
Now, I thought he was the one that was gone week 9 when we played him, but it wasn't. It was Torrey Smith.
That was Torrey Smith. Yeah.
So Torrey Smith is playing?
Yeah, he's on the injury report too, I think. Yeah, he's on there, but he's still playing. He practiced all week. And so, like I said in the prior podcast, they have some of their veterans, they rest and they have to put them on the injury report, even though they're not really injured. So that number, 14 people on the injury report is a little misleading. And they had a couple people that it wasn't football injuries. So our injury report, on the other hand, is depressing. We've got 15 people.
What?
Thankfully, Lavonte David is coming back.
He is coming back for sure.
Yeah. Justin Evans, maybe he practiced this week, but he's questionable. Brent Grimes is questionable. Raheem Nunez-Rochez, the defensive tackle, he's questionable. We got so much depth up there, though. That's not really going to be an issue. It's our secondary that's the issue. MJ Stewart is out.
He's been out for a while.
Yeah, but Carlton Davis, he's out.
Oh, no. What's wrong with him?
Yeah. He got hurt last week in the game against the 49ers.
He's not on injured reserve or anything. He's just...
No, he's just injured this week. And then the big one this week was DeSean Jackson. He's not playing.
So we'll see more of Godwin.
Godwin. And then we move Bobo Wilson up from the practice squad.
Bobo.
Cutter said that you're really hurting if you don't have 5 receivers.
Yeah.
So I think that was what they were thinking there. They needed a little more depth. And then, we don't have OJ, so that's an issue.
Yeah.
That would have kind of alleviated some of the pressure there. But
well, we're not going to miss DeSean Jackson. Him and Winston just are not getting along on the field. So
interesting. Cutter met with the two of them this week to go over the film from last week.
Really?
Yeah, to figure, he said, quote, to find some common ground.
Huh.
So apparently he is trying to mediate, bring them together.
Wow.
Which maybe that would work. I don't know. I mean, it's really going to depend on this injury. I don't know if he's going to be out the rest of the season or what's going to happen. They haven't said.
He is not happy with Jameis. There's something there. Don't know what it is.
I mean, he had some chemistry with Fitz, but then that kind of fizzled out too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe he just gets really frustrated with losing.
Well, it's not all Jameis's fault. I'll tell you that. I mean, DeSean dropped 2 balls last week. And, Jameis doesn't have the touch that Fitzpatrick has on the long ball. Jameis has got a stronger arm, but he... he's a baseball player. He throws those balls, but he doesn't lob balls.
Jameis is?
Yeah. He's a baseball player. He's a pitcher.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He's got a strong arm.
Huh.
That's why he's got such a long windup with his football motion.
Why don't they ever talk about that? You always heard about Gonzalez. He was the basketball player. Yeah. Jimmy Graham, basketball player. We used to drink. We'd have a drinking game during those games. Yeah. Whenever they would mention that they were a basketball player.
Yeah, and Vincent Jackson, too. Didn't they do it with
I
him?
I think so. And then who else? There was another tight end.
Oh, Gonzalez. From
I said him.
Okay. It's like every tall guy has got to be a basketball player.
They kind of have that physique.
Uh-huh.
But they don't ever talk about Jameis the baseball player.
Yeah, I know. And it's very vital to the way he plays quarterback. Because if you watch him, he throws strikes. I mean, he throws that ball as hard as he can almost every time he throws the ball. He does not throw soft passes.
Interesting.
Whereas Fitzpatrick would arc the ball when he throws it deep.
Yeah. So it just kind of lands in the breadbasket.
Yeah, and it gives the guys more time to adjust underneath it.
Okay, if it's just kind of sailing.
Right.
Rather than...
they can see it and have time to get under it. Jameis doesn't give as much arc on it. He really tries to put it on a rope downfield. But when they're going across the middle and stuff, or they're going, you know, their open receiver, you just see Jameis, man, he just chunks it. And when they're in coverage, he really throws it hard because And I think that's one of the reasons why he gets so many interceptions, because you get tipped balls a lot with him, you know, because he'll bounce off guys' hands, or, you know, if it's out of their reach, they'll reach out and tip it, and then it'll just fly up in the air because there's so much velocity on it. I mean, he's not the strongest thrower I've ever seen as far as that. Who was it that used to play for Atlanta? There's players that have thrown harder footballs, but Jameis does not have a light touch on his ball.
And I wonder if there's something to that, if D-Jax has had a thumb injury all season.
Good point.
Or what if Jameis caused the thumb injury?
Good point.
I mean, that could cause some problems there. If he's in pain and knows that a ball like that is coming, even if mentally he's not thinking about it,
body's going to be, turn your hand just a little bit this way to avoid the pain.
Yeah, some kind of self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's something to that. I don't know.
Maybe. Interesting.
Could be. But from what Cutter was saying, it sounded like there was some strife between D-Jax and Jameis. Like, why would you have a special meeting just between those two to find common ground?
Right. Well,
sounds like somebody trying to make them get along.
I think, yeah, and their personalities are so different, too. I mean, you know, D-Jax is that, I don't want to say gangbanger or anything, but he's, you know, he come from the
cool
gang culture. Yeah, he's cool, you know, wears all the gold chains. And Jameis is
a goofy country bumpkin.
Yeah, kind of hicky guy. And, you know, he likes to have fun and be
lighthearted.
Silly, lighthearted, and everything. And D-Jax is just not. I mean, when we met D-Jax, he was
dead serious. Looked like he did not want to be there.
Yes, and he had his kids there and everything too. So that was cool. But yeah, he's definitely a lot different personality wise. Yeah.
A little more, I think, guarded.
Yes, that's good.
He wasn't. Not to say he wasn't a nice guy, but he just wasn't personable, I guess, or.
Not a lot of smiles.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think just personality wise they clash a little bit, and then you know there's definitely some stuff going on there, definitely some stuff, because there's quite a few passes that I've seen Winston throw to D-Jax where D-Jax could have caught the ball and didn't even try or put in very low effort.
Maybe D-Jax has been telling him all season, dude, you throw the ball
Stop
too hard.
Throwing. It's hard. My hands hurt. Yeah. I got dainty little hands.
I don't know. It's interesting. So that's it for the injury report.
So it sounds like our defensive line is going to be intact. We got everybody back.
Yeah.
That's good.
And JPP has been preparing for this one.
Yes. He sounds like he has been really eager.
Yeah.
Because this is the first time he's ever played Carolina. It was week 9.
Yeah. And we kind of touched on this the last podcast. We talked about this.
Oh, we did? Okay.
A little bit. But yeah, this Carolina team is so unique.
Right. And, you know, if you're not used to playing them, they're going to trick you out. And that's what they did to JPP.
Yeah.
And his position is really key. That's what, you know, with a lot of the read option plays that Cam runs, you look at the defensive ends and whatever they do that makes it gives you the decision on what you do. If the defensive end runs towards the outside edge, you run up the middle. If he runs inside, then you run outside. So it's, you know, who keeps the ball, who gets the ball is all dependent on the defensive ends. So JPP is a large part of being able to know what's going on. And he has to be able to be very aware that his actions are going to dictate what the Panthers do.
Interesting. And then everyone else, particularly on the defensive line, but then the linebackers too, have to kind of be in sync.
Yes, linebackers are very going to be very, and I'm glad we got David back for this. I wish we had Quan. Quan's about the only one that can keep up with McCaffrey, but I think David will be able to do a pretty decent job.
Oh my God, McCaffrey, I am not looking forward to facing him again. I looked at it, the stats from the last time we played him, he had 150 yards against us and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And the yards he had, it was 50-50 receiving and rushing.
Man.
Like, oh, God.
Squirrely little dude.
Yeah.
He's tough, too.
I know. Ugh, man.
Well, Dallas shut him down, so, you know, there's a blueprint for us right there.
When did they play?
They played... Oh, no, I'm taking New Orleans.
Yeah.
Kamara. They shut Kamara down.
Well, they're really similar backs.
Yes.
Both receiving, kind of tough.
Yeah, I would give McCaffrey a little bit more on the tough side.
Yeah, I think so.
Kamara a little bit more on the dodgy side.
So. Yeah, okay.
But Kamara, man, he impressed me when he got hit. I mean, he was wobbly. He tried standing up and he couldn't stand up. I thought they were going to take him out of the game for at least a couple plays. No, he got right back in. That really surprised me. Yeah, he was woozy.
So... this game is going to hinge a lot on turnovers. This week, I haven't done this before, and I really should have at the beginning of the season. It's week 12, week 13, whatever week it is. And I'm just figuring this out to do this. But I went to the Panthers website to see what they're saying this week about the game.
Mm.
And turnovers, they got their eye on turnovers this week. They haven't had a turnover since they played us in week 9.
Wow.
And that was Fitzpatrick turned the ball over twice to them. So they've had a drought.
They've been like us.
Yeah, and it's on their mind. So
both teams are going to be out there trying to turn the ball over.
Yeah, not turn the ball over and to get turnovers.
Mm.
So the Panthers are 5-0 when they win the turnover margin. And then they've lost the turnover battle each of the last 3 weeks, and they lost those games. So they're 0-4 on the season when they lose the turnover battle.
So we need to win the turnover battle.
Yeah, well, and so they're aware of this as well. So if they start turning the ball over, that's going to be in their head and might impact how they play.
Speaking of getting in their head, I'm sticking to the same things I said would win last time when we played them that they didn't do. Get to Cam Newton early. You know, get him, once you get him rattled, he plays like crap.
And that's what we did to Mullins last week.
Yes.
So they really need, I mean, they did that last week. They need to focus on that.
Yes. Get to Cam Newton. And I think with the read options and all these play actions and stuff, just hit Cam Newton. Just go for Cam Newton every time. Don't go for the running back. Go for Cam Newton. When he hands the ball off, hit him. If he keeps the ball, hit him. You know, rattle him. He cannot. Well, for one, he's not an accurate passer to begin with. And I've always said, if you keep Cam Newton in the pocket making pass, you'll win the game. But if you get back there and you hit him and get him frustrated and aggravated and then make him sit there in the pocket, yeah, this game will be a shoe. We'll win it. No problems.
So how have they looked the past few weeks?
The same.
You watched a few games.
Yeah, they look the same.
They're losing.
But it's been very tight. I mean, they lost against Detroit because they went for a 2-point conversion at the very end of the game and didn't get it. Uh-huh. They should have. Cam threw a bad ball. Guy was wide open in the end zone. Cam threw it behind him and he couldn't catch it. Guy was wide open. And the other loss they had was against the Seahawks, 30-27. And that was just a bad, I mean, those two teams are so similar. And it was just a battle. It was kind of one of those who had the ball last type things.
Interesting. They just kind of ran out of clock.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, they're not getting whooped by anybody.
Oh, except for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who beat them 52-21 on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
That was fun. I only had to stay awake through the first half because it didn't get any better after that. And they got plenty whooped up on in that time.
Well, there's another blueprint. Watch it. Watch it. Let's play like the Steelers did.
I know. What did they do?
They played tough.
Oh, probably not going to happen.
Probably not going to happen. Yeah, so, you know, we definitely can win this. I mean, last time we got whooped bomb pretty badly. It just looked like we had no clue as to how their style of play. We were just getting tricked out there constantly. We were missing tackles. Offensively, we weren't doing that great, but, you know, we could definitely, I mean, nobody can stop our offense. I mean, Chicago's have been the only one that's really put the brakes on our.
Khalil Mack, that's it.
Right. And, I don't think Carolina's, I mean, the Carolina's defense, they got a good front seven. Other than that, I ain't worried about them. They're not going to be able to keep up with our receivers. So we're going to be able to score on them as long as we can keep our offensive line from having a meltdown. I wonder if they're going to run Kappa in there behind Benenock and do the rotation again. I'd like to see that.
I don't know because Dotson is also questionable. So they may have Wester in for Dotson.
Mm-hmm. And they, you know,
then you've got Benenock on there who, while he's probably the worst person on the line, he's also got the experience with the line. So are you really going to put two inexperienced people on that side?
Yeah. They did last week for one quarter.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, didn't they? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, so.
But I don't, was that planned? I don't know.
No, I don't think
not
it was.
Really.
No,
yeah.
They weren't playing.
Right,
Dotson got hurt.
Yeah, Dotson got hurt during the game. So.
Well, our offensive line is going to have to play a little bit of stout. Little stouter.
They'll probably keep a tight end over there.
They need
for
to.
For help. Yeah.
Well, you know, I say this all the time. Our running backs are just, they're fantastic at pass protection. They're good blockers. It's rare if I see them miss a block or not pick up on a blitz coming in or something. They're really good. They're highly underrated. So maybe we'll keep a running back in there.
So how's Rojo on that front? Because Cutter said he's going to be in the rotation.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen much blocking from Rojo.
Yeah.
But our tight ends are not very good at blocking, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I'd rather the running back stay in there.
Jaquiz, he's a good
one. He's good. He's really good.
He's really good with the block.
Peyton Barber's really good, too. Normally what they do is they have a running back back there and then, you know, he'll stay in and see if anybody's coming in on a blitz or if the offensive lineman's missed him. And then he'll run out as a check down receiver. So
maybe but their linebackers are pretty
right.
Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
I say linebackers, but it's Luke Kuechly.
Yeah. him by himself is, he's a destructive force, but, they've also got, Thomas Davis and James Bradbury, and Cap Munnerlin's on there as well. I mean, sorry, he's a cornerback. Shaq Thompson, you know, so, you know, they're not slouches.
Right. But I mean, compared to Kuechly.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, Kuechly will just blow everything up if you give him a chance.
Yeah.
So we probably will not see the checkdowns to the running back like we saw against the 49ers because Kuechly will be all over top of that mess. Although he blitzes in a lot. So.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is going to be interesting to see how each team has adjust. You know, are the Panthers going to come out and try to play the same way they did last
time?
Right.
I don't think so. Just because Riverboat Ron, he's a smart coach. He coaches smart. Mm-hmm. And I think he's smarter than that. They can't just come out and run the same game plan. That would be dumb. Right?
I don't know. I mean, they don't change a whole lot. You know, over the years that I've watched them play, they just kind of run the same stuff. They just throw in little things. They change the way they do things just a little bit. They still run the basic same plays. They're all tricky and all that good stuff, but they'll adjust them just a little bit. You know, they'll have a tight end over on the other side or whatever, you know, just to
throw you off a little bit.
Yes. Just so you look at it and you go, oh, they're going to run this. And then they've changed it up a little bit. So.
Interesting.
But they're not going to like all of a sudden go all four verticals on us. And,
right.
You know, they're going to still run the same ground and pound, read option, play action.
I do want to say you were mentioning JPP and the defensive ends containing Cam Newton. I'm very excited about Carl Nassib, too.
Yes.
Doing this. You know, he's kind of gotten into a rhythm. I think the whole defensive line has. Mm-hmm. I think.
I really want to see if Vea is able to step it up again this week. This offensive line is a little bit better than 49ers offensive line. So.
Right. But he's good at throwing guys around.
Mm-hmm.
Vita unvelcroed. This week.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a new nickname for him. It won't be Velcro anymore.
I know, it'll be unvelcro.
Yeah.
He was fun to watch last week.
He's a force. Good. I'll tell you what, man. If he gets his ball awareness on point.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he'll be a terror for the next decade.
Yeah. And he's such a big guy. Can you see him just clocking Cam Newton?
Yeah, oh man, I want to see it so bad. Just laying right on top of him. And he's fast for as big as he is.
Yeah.
Well, not, I don't know. Fast isn't really the word, but
just, he hustles.
He hustles. Yes. Yeah. He's up and down the field constantly.
Right. I'm curious in the off season if he'll lose some weight being in Florida.
Yeah. Good point. Like Sapp said, you don't get them fat boys in Florida.
You don't draft a fat defensive lineman in Florida. But it's true. It's hot down there.
A little bit.
A little bit.
All the time.
All the time. So what's your prediction?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to do it. I'm still going with the Buccaneers.
Are you?
Yep. I'm going to do it. I've got my Buccaneer tinted glasses on.
But they just beat the crap out of us last game. It was ugly.
Well, I said last game that if they just up their defense a little bit and get to where they can tackle a little bit better and get a little bit tougher, then we're going to beat the crap out of these guys.
The score was 42-28 last game.
I'm trying not to remember that.
They did put up 42 points.
Try to be positive.
I know. We got to contain McCaffrey. Carolina is number 3 in rushing. And just to give you some perspective on that, San Francisco is number 5. And Breida ran all over top of us last week.
Hmm. Yeah, our edges are really susceptible to the run. And McCaffrey is great on the edges. You know, he gets those passes thrown out to him in the flats and stuff, and he just goes. I'm hoping that we've learned our lesson and we have dedicate a guy, linebacker, preferably Levante David, just on McCaffrey.
Yeah, and he's good because he's football smart. He's got a good awareness.
Yeah.
Although, in the past few years, we haven't seen it as much as we did in his rookie year.
Yeah. I love he kind of trained that out of him.
Yeah. Thanks, Lovey. Dick.
But McCaffrey, I think... You know, but that's one of the good things about this team. They don't have a lot of weapons. Really, the only thing they got is McCaffrey and Cam Newton.
Yeah.
You know, you put a stop to those two, game over.
I don't know, though. Curtis Samuel, their wide receiver, he had a field day against us. Remember that one run where we had like
the
four
Keystone
tackles?
Cop ones? Yeah, I remember that. Why do you keep bringing this up,
man?
You're giving me PTSD again.
I'm trying to talk you out of.
No, I'm picking the Buccaneers, man. I'm picking them. I'm going to say 32-28 Buccaneers. And I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it's going to be, we're going to pretty much control the game. I think they'll come back in the second half and give us a little bit of a fight.
Okay. My prediction, this is a tough one. My instinct says to pick the Panthers, but I really want to believe in the Bucs. I do.
Can we do two? Can we do one where our instincts and our fan side,
I know.
On paper, we're going to get destroyed.
But there might be those intangibles.
There you go. Intangibles. Molly loves her intangibles.
So I will say 24-28 Buccaneers.
What?
There we go.
You do not want to pick.
I don't. You're right.
Well, then pick the Panthers.
No.
You don't have to be a homegirl.
I want to believe.
I want to believe. It's just so hard.
But, you know, if you have low expectations, then you're not disappointed.
That was in her marriage vows, by the way.
Oh, man.
Okay, so you're going with Bucks 28, Panthers 24?
Yes. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We're doing this, guys.
Let's make them kick field goal because their kicker has been kind of shaky.
Has he? I think he's on the injury report, too.
He needs to be. He missed a field goal and an extra point last week. Graham Gano.
Yep, he sure is. His left knee.
His left knee. He doesn't even need a left knee.
That's probably his plant leg.
I know. He could use peg leg. It'd be too much like a pirate.
But then the right leg couldn't get enough, wouldn't have enough room to kick.
If you were to chop his left leg off and put a broomstick in place.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. He could really pivot no well, leg. I think. Yeah, that's true. Maybe.
You could actually just plant him in the ground by the thing and spin him. And then have him stick his foot out at a certain time and kick the ball.
Oh, my gosh. You're terrible. But that image. We'd give him an eye patch.
And a parrot. Right.
Okay. It's very exciting. Y'all packed the stadium this weekend. They're giving free tickets.
Free tickets, guys.
Come on. And people are bitching about that. Did you hear that?
Yeah, you were telling me they were assigning people seats across the stadium.
Yeah, they were giving the season ticket holders free tickets, and then the free tickets were like all the way across the stadium, which I get why the fans would be a little frustrated by that. Like, you bring people to the game, but then you can't sit with them. But if you're in the season ticket holder section, it means on either side of you, those are season ticket holders, right?
Is that how it works?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
No. Maybe not.
I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know. We don't have season tickets, obviously. I don't understand how it works. But a free ticket is a free ticket.
Yeah, it's supposed to be nice tomorrow. And you know, go out. Enjoy the game, man. Enjoy watching us beat up on the Panthers. Get out there and support JPP. He needs it.
That's right. He was calling for it this week.
He's like, come on, guys.
Come out.
I understand, but we need you.
We need you. Exactly.
He didn't sound like I did.
No.
No, he was actually much more manly sounding.
He did.
Like, come on out, guys.
So, pack that stadium.
Yep. I want to see a full house on TV.
And more red than blue.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. We're playing our Color Rush jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. All rush. Red.
All red.
All rush.
All rush.
All rush. All red all the time.
Right.
Which is good. I like that. I can't stand the white. I would love to see our win-loss ratio depending on what uniforms we wear. Because I think it, you know, psychologically, I think it means a lot.
You think so?
I do. And also, there's a thing, you know, and I've never understood why teams haven't done this, but camouflage factor. Now, everybody gave the Jacksonville Jaguars a hard time for their two-tone helmets, but to me, it was genius because they look different from the front as they did from the back. And so it would confuse a quarterback who's playing against a defense where the guys were kind of changing colors on the other side.
Yeah, your brain's got to process all that.
Yeah, just that little millisecond make you go, what? Well, you know, we've got all stadiums have color inside the stadium. You know, we've got red and white, those banners that say things like Gerald's Kids and, you know, the Glazier Foundation, all that good stuff. So it's red and white all across there. And then you got all the people standing on the sidelines. You got the one team in this color over here. You got one team in this color over here. And then you got all the reporters and the referees. So anyhow, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of junk out there. But the main thing is the background, which is red and white. When you're in a white outfit, you stand out. You know, the opposing quarterback can see you on defense, and they can see where all the players at. When you're in white, you're against a green background, against a red and white background. You're against, you know, all the people standing in it. You stand out like a sore thumb, basically like a beacon. You know, I think if you looked at like the Pittsburgh Steelers when they wear the black jerseys with the yellow pants and they're in their stadium, they blend in more.
Mm-hmm. Probably the Cincinnati Bengals are the same
the
way.
They even got a striped helmet. You know, so it's always what boggled me how teams don't do that. You know, coordinate their colors with the inside of the stadium because they blend in more. It might be a little bit of a problem when you're on offense and you're throwing to your receiver and you can't see them. But
Did you know red and green are contrasting colors?
Yes, I do.
On the color wheel?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what that would do.
Makes me want to throw up when I see somebody wearing red and green, unless it's Christmas themed, and then I could deal with it.
But, you know, does that make them stand out more on the field against the grass, though?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder what it would be like if somebody wore grass-colored jerseys out there.
Well, you don't have any teams that are those colors.
Like, the closest would be the Jets, the green and white.
Well, Green Bay, they've got that. There's like a dark green and yellow.
Yeah, their green is closer.
Oh, yeah, the green. Yeah, the green of the Jets and white. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, your brain's got to process that. We don't really think about it like that, but.
Yeah, and any little thing helps. I mean, we're talking about milliseconds of difference in football. The game of inches, I would even argue centimeters.
Yeah.
Millimeters.
We could just keep going down.
What's under millimeters?
I don't know.
Decameters?
Probably.
Gigameters? All right, so that's going to wrap it up, guys. We're both picking the Buccaneers, as usual.
Begrudgingly, this time.
I'm not really. I really am not.
I don't know. I'm not optimistic.
If we don't play like a bunch of poofters out there.
Poofters. I've never heard that word before. Was that an insult in like the 1940s?
Wow. You're calling me old. Yeah, if we don't play soft, we can win this game. Our offense can beat their defense. I think their defense or their offense can have a hard time with our defense, especially if our line can get to Cam and if we can stop McCaffrey. Just stop the big plays from them.
Explosives.
Yes, they're very big on explosive plays.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, they're not the kind of team that's going to grind you down 4 yards at a time.
Huh.
So anyhow, go out there, guys, if you're listening to this, and I'm talking about Buccaneers team, smack Cam Newton around. Somebody hold him down and let Vita Vea fall on top of him a couple of times. Somebody please knock a tooth out from him, that pretty white smile he's got. So annoying.
That's teeth.
So anyhow, if you want to get in touch with us, you can contact Molly. Her email address is mollybay@buccaneersobserver.com. You can reach me at ralph@buccaneersobserver.com, or you can get in touch with us on our Twitter. The Twitter account is @bucks_observer, or you can leave a comment on our website, buccaneersobserver.com. Until then,
go Bucks!